Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining me today. You know, last week, we talked about refinancing and how you go about it, reasons people would refinance. You refinance for lower rates, you refinance for a shorter term, refinance for cashing out, especially with our low rates, the ridiculously low, record low rates that we have today. Cashing out to pay off bills has been huge. Cash out for home improvement, you know, those things really important. And if you didn't happen to hear last week, you know, you can go to Hardworking Mortgage Guy. There's a tab with the radio show. Just go there and you can listen to pieces of the show. If you want to listen to the whole show, you can go to freedom95.us and you can go to my show and you can listen to the show right there on their website. But today we're going to talk about credit and how it works. And this is extremely important. You know, I've been watching, I don't watch a ton of TV. I watch very little. Most of what I watch is DVR'd, but the little that I do watch, I've noticed that there's quite a few ads out there for credit and improving credit and how important credit is. So I thought we should talk about it. And I think it's important that we do because it is critical in a mortgage, but it's critical in your life. You know, one of the ads I saw, does your credit score affect your job? And it can. It can, at least as you go look for a job, it can certainly affect it. If they pull your credit, that matters. So you definitely want good credit. Certainly matters in buying a car or buying a house or, you know, getting a credit card or all of the, anything you need credit for. It's extremely important. Credit is extremely important. You know, another piece I wanted to talk about, I think it's Experian. There's an ad out for Experian saying, you know, instantly raise your credit score. And that may work for some type of credit. It does not raise your credit score for a mortgage. One of the things about when we pull credit, when your credit is pulled, if you go to a car dealership and you have them pull credit, you're buying a car and they pull credit. First of all, then mostly they pull one credit bureau. They don't pull all three. That's normal. There may be some that pull more than that, but most of them pull one credit bureau. And that pull is for a car. So it's rated for a car. If you pull your credit, it's rated for what's called a self-pull. If you're trying to get a credit card, they pull it for a credit card pull. When we pull it for a mortgage, it's a mortgage pull. And on a mortgage, number one, we get all three credit scores. It's called a tri-merge credit. They merge all three credit bureaus together. We get three scores, three separate scores for each bureau, but all three credit bureaus are put together in a tri-merge. And we use the middle of those three scores. Normally, it's going to be the lowest score of the different type of pulls you can have. Now, it may not be like a car or any of them that they pull one. You may actually have a higher middle score than the one they pulled. They may have pulled your low score, and it may be lower than your middle score of the three. But normally, it's not. Normally, it's the low. It's going to be lower than any of the pulls that you had. Especially, let's say you have it on your credit card online, or you have, or maybe they just send it to you on your statement, or maybe your bank. You know, you can just see your credit score right there. That credit score will tend to be a little lower or higher than it will for a mortgage, but it'll be pretty close. It gives you a really good idea of where your credit score is. But with that, you know, it's critical that you have a high credit score. The higher, the better. Credit scores for a mortgage run from 350 to 850. Some people say 300 to 850. I've never seen anything below a 400, so it's not very likely you're going to have to worry about whether it's 350 or 300. And I've rarely seen a credit score below 500. And for a mortgage, we, for the most part, this isn't set in stone, but for the most part, for many mortgages, you know, we need a credit score 620 and above for FHA and conventional. But there's additional, issues there. I know we can, you know, there's some options for FHA at down to 580 becomes very, you know, there's a lot of things we have to do under 580. There just has to be There's options. Okay, so it's not, it isn't that you can't do it, it just makes it very difficult. And what it really does, not only makes it difficult, but it also makes it extremely expensive. So if you have credit scores like that, what we really want to do is look at your credit and figure out what needs to be done to increase it. The way that we do that is in the system that we have. We can run it, and it's called a what-if simulator. It will tell us, what if you did this? What's going to happen? What is it going to do to your credit score? And we can even do it over time. So we can say, okay, well, it didn't do anything in a month. What about if they want to buy a home in 5 months? What do we have to do? And we can hopefully figure that out. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes there's nothing we can do. There's nothing you can do. You're just going to have to wait. Many times there are things that can be done. Even if it is, I don't have any credit. Well, what if you added some cards to it? You know, what if you added some debt and you know, prepaid cards, or you were put on as a signer on a card, or, you know, something like that. An authorized user is what I mean by signer, authorized user. So what is that going to do? So we get that information, we put it in, we can kind of tell you where they're expecting your credit score to be at a certain time to make sure, you know, we can get to where we need to be to move forward. But let's talk more about the exact part of credit. You know, what affects your credit? First, 35% of your score is based on your payment history. So if you're brand new to credit, obviously, it's going to hurt your score because you don't have a history. If you've had credit for 30 years, you've got a lot of history. That's going to help your score. Credit utilization. 30% of your score is on credit utilization. And this utilization is the percentage of available credit that that has been borrowed. Okay. Now what this means is on your credit cards, on your revolving credit, if you have a $10,000 limit, on your credit limit, how much have you borrowed against that? The more, and that's what the credit utilization is going to rate. So it's how much of your credit have you used that is available. The less you've used, for the most part, not exactly, but the less you've used, the better. We find that about 18% is optimal, but anywhere in that 15 to 25-30% is going to be the best. Length of credit history, this goes along with the payment history, but the length of your credit history. So if you've made, you know, the payment history, you've paid, you may have a mortgage, you paid it for 5 years. Okay, that's great. But maybe you've had credit for 15 years or 20 years. That's the length of credit history. So they look back at the length of your credit history. That's 15% of your score. New credit, that's stuff you've added recently. New credit is 10% of your score, and that can hurt or help your credit. And then the credit mix. The mix is your installment, mortgage, and revolving credit. And a mortgage helps your credit score immensely. So if you don't have a mortgage, your first time home buyer, you don't have a mortgage, your credit score is going to tend to be a little lower because you don't have a mortgage. Not always, but a mortgage can help immensely. It can help as long as you're making the payments on time and you're not late. Of course, if you're late on a mortgage, it hurts it more than anything. But if you have a mortgage and you're on time, it helps it the most. So, and the credit mix is 10%. Not a huge amount, but it does matter. So you don't want to be real heavy in credit cards. You know, you want a mortgage. If you have a mortgage, a car loan, and, you know, a major credit card, when I say major, American Express, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, those type of cards, you have one or two of those, you have some history on those, you don't have a high balance. That's where I see most of the time the highest credit scores. So we want to make sure that, you know, you have the proper information there so you understand it. And we can talk about that if you, as you're looking at it, you want to talk more about it. But let's talk more about the credit score. What is a credit score? I'm sure that many people have some idea. And, you know, I told you there's three different credit scores. But your credit score is a number that represents all the information that's found on that credit report. All that information, they take it and they put it together and they say, in this algorithm that they have, out pops, this is a credit score for this person with all this information. And so it just tells us what it is, and it's how it's your credit is rated. And when applying for a mortgage, the scoring model used is called FICO, FICO score, and it has a range from 350 to 850. Now, FICO, I'm sure you've heard my FICO score. That's what we're talking about with the FICO score. But most, when we talk about credit, there's three credit bureaus: TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. And so those are the three that they run the FICO. And then your middle score, let's say it's a TransUnion, your middle score, if it happened to be the TransUnion, that's the score that we're going to use. And again, it's called a tri-merge credit report. It takes all three bureaus, puts them together, and it puts everything. So when we see a mortgage rating, the mortgage rating has all three bureaus with it. When we see a car rating, it has all three bureaus with it most of the time. Sometimes there'll be a bureau missing, but most of the time it has all three. And then you'll see that each Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian have their own credit score. And they'll be different normally. It's rare to see that they're all exactly the same. So, and the reason is because they rate things differently. And sometimes there's things that are on one and not on another. Sometimes when we pull credit and we run our credit analyzer, we'll see something where it says, hey, this one is probably their credit score is going to go down. So you want to do something quick before the credit score goes down. If that happens, we'd let you know that. Normally, we don't, you know, it's not an issue. And why would it know a credit score is going down? It would know a credit score is going down because it looks at what's going to fall off. And you could have something really good falling off. And because that's falling off, it's going to adversely affect your credit score. So what is a credit report? Now, there's three bureaus, like I talked about. There's TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. And they collect all this data from all the lenders, all the people that you work with that you owe debt and that you've done loans for. So let's say you have a car loan. The lender will report when that car loan was opened. They'll report when it closed, if it is closed, or when it's going to close, you know, how much time it has. And then it reports how you made your payments, what your payments were, and were they on time. It reports all the credit history on that report and tells us exactly, you know, it tells the credit bureau, you know, what that is and rates your credit on that specific credit. When we get back from break, we're going to talk more about your credit and your credit report.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining me. I appreciate it. I hope you're enjoying your Saturday. We were talking about credit, and are going to continue to talk about credit. We talked about the five factors that affect your credit score: payment history, which is 35%, credit utilization, which is 30%, the length of your credit history, which is 15%, new credit, which is 10%, and the credit mix, which is 10%. So those are the five factors that affect your credit score. We talked about what credit scores are. And we're talking right now, we've been talking about what is a credit report. And we know that there's three different credit bureaus: TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, and that they collect all your data and they collect it from the lenders. So when you buy a car, if you have a car through Chase is going to report your payments. They're going to report when that loan was made, the month and year it was made. They're going to report when it's going to close, how many months it's for. They're going to report your payments and whether they're late or not. And they generally report that it's not late, 30 days late, 60 days late, 90 days late. And then more than 90 days late. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to be more than 90 days late. In fact, you don't want to be 30 days late. Now, that's another piece to think about. You don't want to be more than 30 days late. So if you're late on a payment, make sure that you make the payment, if it's at all possible, before you're 30 days late. Because then it won't report to the credit bureau. Be on there while it's late, but once you pay it, it goes away, and it doesn't affect your credit score. If you pay it day 29, it doesn't affect your credit score. If you pay it day 30, it's 30 days late, and it's going to affect your credit score. So it's critical that you make that payment before it's 30 days late, if it's at all possible. If it's not, call your creditor and talk to them about it and see if you can't get some relief. That they may or may not. They may be able to, they may not, but it's certainly worth talking to them about and seeing if you can't fix that, make it better. So when they report it, they report the history of your credit. So if you've made 36 payments on time, you got 36 perfect pays, that's going to really help your credit. If you have one payment on time, It's not going to help your credit that much, but it's certainly not going to hurt it. It's a good sign. Believe it or not, that most people, the payment that they miss is the first payment. When somebody starts missing payments, it's generally the first payment. It's amazing. So that's important. So what about getting your credit report? How do you get your credit report? You know, there's obviously, if you're applying for credit, you can get it that way. But if you want to pull the credit report yourself, you can go to annualcreditreport.com. That's annualcreditreport.com. This is a consumer right, U.S. consumer right, and you have the legal right to get one copy of your credit report from each of the credit reporting agencies, TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian, every 12 months. This is a mandate by the federal government. And so it is a requirement that they allow you to do that. So you just go to annualcreditreport.com and pull your credit. Now, they don't give you a credit score for free, but they give you your credit for free. So you can see what's being reported. This can be critical to do every year because you might find something that's being reported in your name that is not yours, or something that you had no idea was being reported that may be yours. Maybe a medical bill that you never received, but they're reporting it as late and it's an in collection and it's hurting your credit. So it's critical that you do this every year. Go to annualcreditreport.com, pull your credit, look through it, and see what it's reporting, and see, make sure that there's nothing on there that shouldn't be, that it's all reporting correctly. You know, it's really important if you've gotten divorced. It's important anyway, but it's important if you've gotten divorced to make sure you do that, because you want to make sure the things that were not supposed to be on your credit bureau are not on your credit bureau. I've been working with a person who got divorced. We're working to refinance, and there were some things on the credit report that her ex-spouse was supposed to take care of. And so by us having the credit report, she was able to note that. She was able to get that taken care of. Fortunately, it was just an oversight. They took care of it right away. But it does help a lot in a situation where you just want to make sure that that's done. Additionally, you can end up, like my brother's credit ended up on my credit bureau. Your kids can end up on your credit bureau. You can end up on your kids' credit bureau. You know, sometimes it's no big deal. It helps your credit, so you don't care, but others, it can hurt your credit. You just want to look at it and make sure that that everything is accurate, as close as you know it should be, so that if there's any issues, you can make sure that they're taken care of. So what type of credit accounts are available? You have installment accounts. Installment accounts are things like a mortgage, car loans, your home equity lines of credit, which are mortgages. Those are the installment loans, have a fixed ending date. Then you have revolving credit. Revolving credit is credit lines like your credit cards, lines of credit that aren't tied to your home. Tied to your home makes it a mortgage. A lot of people don't understand a home equity line of credit. They go, that's not a mortgage. It is a mortgage. It's a second mortgage, normally. Sometimes it's the first mortgage, but it's normally the second mortgage, and it is definitely a mortgage. It's called a home equity line of credit, and it is an installment. A revolving credit line of credit would be something not tied to your home, something you just went out and you got a line of credit so that you could do something. A lot of people have them, no big deal, but that's what they are. Credit cards are the same way. Credit cards are revolving debt, and these are the ones that matter a lot when you're looking at what you owe compared to the limit. It matters on these, so you want to make sure that you don't owe too much compared to the limit. Believe it or not, one way to get a credit score increased is if you're tight on that. Let's say you have a credit card and you owe $4,000 on the credit card and it has a limit of five, is to get the creditor to raise your limit to 10. And all of a sudden now you've got a lot more open credit and your credit score goes up. Now the danger is that you charge it up to $10,000. So we don't recommend charging it up, but it's certainly a way to get that credit score up. But those are the types of credit. And then, we talked about why credit is important, but I want to talk a little bit more about that. Credit is important if you want to finance a home, a car, or have credit cards. All of that matters. Your credit score matters in the rates that you're going to be charged and the costs that you're going to be charged. There are people who will tell you to pay off all of your debt and do not have any credit cards. And I know that that's a big deal. Don't have any credit. it is important if you want to buy a home or a car and you don't want or don't have the ability to pay cash that you keep some credit. I have had people who have gone and they've paid off everything, which is phenomenal. It is very freeing, but you can't buy a house without paying cash if you don't have any credit. It's difficult to buy a car if you don't have any credit unless you're paying cash. So you're better off keeping a little bit of credit open, two or three credit cards that you use once a month to buy $20 worth of gas and you pay it off every month. You don't charge it up, but you keep your credit active and you keep high credit scores. So when you do want to use your credit, you have the ability to do it. Most of the people tell you to get rid of all that, it's because they don't want you to get, you know, if you've had trouble with credit in the past and you keep running it up, that can be an issue. That's what they're trying to avoid. I'm not suggesting that you run your credit up in any way, shape, or form. What I'm suggesting is you just keep a little bit open, you know, and more than just one credit card, two or three credit cards, so that you keep your credit active, so that you have a credit score that so that you can buy a home or a car if you decide that you want to finance it and you don't want to pay cash. That's why, part of why credit is important. If you want to pay cash, then it won't matter. Now, how to build credit? If you don't have credit, you need to establish your credit. And that is different than repairing your credit because you just don't have credit. But to establish a solid credit history, you know, and remember, we said, you know, the credit history is 35%. And that's one of the reasons I want you to keep a card two or three cards open. If you get rid of everything else, don't charge them up. Just charge 20, 30 bucks on it every month and pay it off. To build credit or to keep credit or establish credit, you basically want to do the same thing. You need to get some credit. So you can go, if you can't get a lender who will just automatically give you a credit card. And I'm not talking about a debit card. I'm talking about a credit card that's going to report to the credit bureau, make sure it is. But it can be difficult since you don't have any credit. So what you can do is you can go and you can get what's called a prepaid card. Now, this is not the prepaid cards you get at the store. That's just prepaying a card. It isn't tied to you. It's got $50 on it. You go pay the $50 and it's empty and you throw the card away. I'm talking about going to a credit card company, and there are out there. Just go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Let me know what you're looking for and I'll get you the names of the cards that are out there that you can then go and you can prepay. So you say you send in $500 and they give you a $500 limit on a credit card. They send you a credit card. Now you have a $500 limit. What you do with that is you pay a little bit. You charge a little bit every other month, not every month, every other month. So let's say you have a $500 limit. You charge up to $50, maybe $100. You charge up to $100 month one. Month two, you pay it off. Month three, you charge $100. Month four, you pay it off. If you charge it up to $500, you're not helping yourself. You're hurting yourself. You're helping a little bit, but not much. It's really not good. So that $100, the reason I want to keep it at $100 and pay it off month two and then charge again month three is because you don't know when they're going to report. So if you charge $100 and then you charge another $100, now you're at $200. And if that's when it's reporting, now you're no longer at 20%. You're at 40% of the limit. And that's not going to help your credit as much as being at 20% of the limit. And you want to do that with two or three cards if you can to help build the credit. But you want to establish a positive credit history. It's important that you do. And making payments on time every month is essential to building the credit. So if that's a goal, you know, we need to figure that out. We need to make it happen and help you get to that point. Also, if you fall behind on some accounts, try to get caught up as quickly as possible. I know it's kind of often building credit because it's hurting your credit if you're behind on something, but you want to get caught up as quickly as possible. And the first thing you should do if you're going to go behind is get with the creditor. Make sure the creditor knows what's going on. It helps immensely if they know what's going on. You want to keep your credit card balances low. We talked about that. Credit cards are excellent tools for building credit because as long as you pay your bills on time and in full each month, you can create a great credit history without ever paying any interest. But if you charge them, you don't pay them off, you pay a lot of interest, and you let them go and you let them get towards the limit, they're also very easy to get overextended on financially. And if you get overextended financially, that becomes a real problem. So even if you're, let's as you're building credit or you're trying to keep your good credit, just make sure that you do that. If you're going to have a problem, call your creditor. Sometimes they'll give you a, like, I'll get it in the mail, hey, don't make your payment this month. Just sign up here and you don't have to make the payment. So, maybe you could get them to do that at a time when you need that. It's not something I use, but it's something that's available. Borrow wisely. Applying for multiple loans and multiple cards in a short period of time can hurt your credit. And taking on too much debt can make it more difficult to keep up with making your payments. As a result, it's a good idea to avoid borrowing unless you absolutely need to. And before you apply, make sure you can afford the monthly payments associated with a new account. This is critical, but, one of the things I did in my younger years, and I see people do, they go and they look at a car, and I don't know, that $1,200 a month payment seems doable when you fall in love with the car, but 3 months later you realize it's not as easy to make that payment as you thought. So it would be best, if you're going to do something like that, that you run your budget and you make darn sure you can afford it. And you don't overspend, because it is critical to keep that debt down and to make sure that you can afford those payments to keep your credit scores high. It also leaves you more flexibility. You want to make sure that you can make those payments, and you want to make sure that's affordable and that it's easy for you to do that. Now, keep track of your credit report and your scores. It's important that you do that. It's a good idea to check your credit scores and report regularly. Definitely do it once a year. Go to annualcreditreport.com. You can't see your scores, but you can see your credit bureau. You can see what's on there. I'm not as keen on making sure you keep track of your score. Most people can easily do that through either a credit card or their bank. But I think looking at your credit bureau, maybe because I can read them very well, looking at your credit bureau makes the biggest impact, because you can see what's there, what shouldn't be there. If everything looks great, you don't have high debt on your revolving accounts, you don't have a high balance compared to your limits, you've never declared bankruptcy, you pay all your payments on time, you've got credit history 5, 6, 8 years, you're going to have high credit. So that's what you want to look at. You just want to make sure that you have all that. Now, real briefly, let's talk about, we talked a little bit about building credit, but if you're going to build credit, the first thing to do, one of the things is do a secured credit card like we talked. You give them $500, $1,000, whatever it is. You want to do two or three of these, give them some money, charge up to no more than 20%. Month one, pay it off month two, charge up to 20% month three, pay it off month four. You get the idea. Every other month, you charge it up, pay it off, charge it up, pay it off, but charge it up to 20% of the limit. If its limit is $500, that's what you've given them. Do not go over $100. Keep it at $100 or less, then pay it off the second month. That is critical. You want to keep that balance low. Another way is to ask a family member or close friend to co-sign for you on some type of a small loan or a credit card account. Keep in mind that, both people are, if somebody co-signs, they're responsible for that loan, and it's going to hurt their credit if you don't make the payments. So don't do that if you're not going to make the payments. And if you do it and you're having, and you're looking at a time when you're going to have trouble making the payment, go to the person that co-signed. They did you a favor. Go to that person and let them know there's an issue so that they can adjust for it. Maybe make the payment. They don't want to have their credit ruined. So do that. Another one is to be added as an authorized user. We talked a little bit about this, but added as an authorized user. They just add you to a credit card. You get all the history right off the bat. That's really helpful. You get added to a couple of those, and that's going to give you credit history. If they have good credit history, they don't have a high balance compared to the limit, that's going to really help you. So what is the best path to home ownership? We'll talk about that next Saturday right here at Indy's Real Estate Gurus, 3:30 to 4. Please join us and have a fantastic weekend.